Would you turn back to 1 John chapter 3? I'd like to read these verses again, and let me give you the title of this message. God is greater than our heart. And I think you'll see why I entitled it as we read this passage of Scripture again. Verse 19, 1 John chapter 3. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, there are three things necessary for us to understand the Scriptures. Number one, the Holy Spirit. There is no understanding of any Scriptures just by natural intellect. I have to have God the Holy Spirit open my understanding that I might understand the Scriptures. And number two, when we look at a passage of Scripture, we need to look at it in the light of all other Scriptures. If it doesn't line up with all other Scriptures, we haven't got the proper meaning. We have to be able to throw the whole book at every Scripture. And number three, we have to look at the Scriptures with an honest heart. Not a deceitful heart, but an honest heart. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. For instance, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence before God. Now, when our lives are such that there's no allowed sin, we may fall every now and then. We can't help it. We don't claim perfection. But there is no known sin in our lives, and our lives are such that there's nothing to condemn us for. That's when we can have confidence before God. Now, that's the way a lot of people look at this passage of Scripture. If your heart condemns you, you're in bad shape. God's greater than your heart, and He really condemns you. If you condemn yourself, think how much He condemns you. But if you have confidence, in your life and your conduct and so on, then have we confidence toward God. Now, let me say a couple of things. Nobody taught by the Spirit of God would talk like that. No, sir. And if that's your experience, is it? Well, if it is, you're not honest. You've lied to God. You've lied to yourself, and you're lying to me. If you say, that's my experience, I feel like my life is such that I can have confidence. My victory over sin is to the point that I feel like I can have confidence toward God. That kind of thinking is just dishonest. And if you continue in that, or if I continue in that kind of thinking, all I'll prove is I've never really been saved. That's what that means. Isaiah 63, verse 8 says that God's children are children that will not lie. Now, there's not a day that goes by, I'm sure, when I don't lie. As a matter of fact, anything I say, if I say it, it's a lie. Even if I tell the truth, even if there's no inaccuracy in anything I'm saying, I'm saying it in such a way as to build me up and probably tear somebody else down. Now, that's just the way it is. But one thing God's people will not do is lie before God. They will not pretend to be what they really are not. They're honest before God. This is what is spoken of in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, and in whose spirit, that's the new man, the new spirit, in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. They're honest before God. Do you remember the parable of the sower? What soil received the word? The soil that's described by the Lord Jesus as an honest and good heart. Now, may we have, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Spirit of God. May we be enabled to look at this passage of Scripture in light of other Scriptures to know what the meaning is. And may we deal with this passage of Scripture honestly. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing if the Lord gives us the grace to do those three things? Now, in verse 19, he says, "And hereby, in this," is what that means, "in this, we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." Now, look at the confidence John speaks up with. "Hereby know we that we are of the truth, and that and shall assure our hearts before God." Now, what's it mean to be of the truth? Turn to John 18. John 18, verse 37. "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born." He was born king of the Jews. "And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. For this end came I into this world, that I should bear witness." Now, that word "bear witness" is where we get the word martyr from. Someone who bears witness by his death. Now, understand this. The Lord wasn't a martyr. Let me repeat that. The Lord was not a martyr. He was a propitiation. He was a sin-removing sacrifice. He wasn't a martyr, but what did he bear witness by his death? He bore witness by his death of what me and you really are. You'll never know anything about your own personal sinfulness apart from the cross. Now, let me repeat that. Believe this. Believe this. You will never know anything about your own personal sinfulness apart from seeing that one hanging on that tree. Let me tell you what that means. That means that I am so evil that if left to myself, I would kill God and put myself in His place. Now, that's the truth. Our Lord bore witness by His death of the true character of man, my true character, your true character. That's how evil you and I really are. You believe that? Well, it's so, whether we believe it or not. It's so. The Lord bore witness to the truth about me from the cross, and the Lord bore witness to the true character of God. God is not known apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no knowledge of God. There's no understanding of God. There's no salvation apart from a knowledge of God in the cross. Do you know the cross? The Lord hanging there on that cross displays every attribute of God. His holiness, His justice, His sovereignty, His immutability, His grace, every attribute that He has been pleased to make known is displayed in the cross. Do you see that kind of glory in the cross? And the true character of salvation is displayed. The Lord bore witness to the truth on the cross. Here's the true character of salvation. He is salvation. He accomplished salvation on Calvary's tree when He said, "It is finished." The salvation of all of the elect was finished.
Isn't that great?
That's great. My salvation was accomplished by what he did. He bore witness to the truth. And notice he says, everyone that is of the truth. Remember John said, we know we're of the truth, and our hearts will assure us before God. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Turn to John chapter 8. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, John 8:45. Because I tell you the truth. You know, everything the Lord said is the truth, isn't it? Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, you're of the truth when you believe the truth and when you love the truth. You're of the truth when you believe the truth. You really believe that Christ bore witness to absolute truth on Calvary Tree. You believe that. And not only do you believe it, you love it. You love the way God is as is revealed in the gospel. And when we know we're of the truth, our hearts are assured before God. We hear his voice, the voice of truth. Now look in verse 20 of our text in 1 John chapter 3. For if our heart condemn us. Now, a couple of things I want to say at first. Notice John says, if our heart condemn us. He doesn't speak as an apostle and bend down to the ignorant multitudes and say, if your heart condemns you. Mine's not going to be, but if your heart condemns you, he says, if our heart condemn us. And this if is the same if as if any man sin. It's not supposing that there's some possibility that you won't sin. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, this same Greek particle is translated when. When. And you can just as easily translate this, when our hearts condemn us. Now, I've got to say this. My heart condemns me all the time. Do you know anything about a condemning heart? How can I be saved? How can I really know the Lord when I'm such a hypocrite? Such an actor, such a pretender, such a fraud. How can I be saved with such sin in my life? That's called a condemning heart. How can I be saved if I commit the same sins over and over, and even when I confess them, I know deep down I'll commit them again? How can I be saved if I'm like that? How can I really love Christ when my heart is so hard? How can I have the grace of God in my heart when there's so little self-denial, so much unbelief, such weak desires for holiness, such strong desires for sin? How can I be converted when I can hear the gospel and still be unmoved? How can I be saved? Now that's the questions of a condemning heart. You know, John Newton wrote this, and I've heard people criticize this. Maybe I have before, but he wrote this song that starts with these words, "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I am, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure could they be worse who have never known His name. Now that is a condemning heart. Now I've heard people say, if your wife says, honey, do you love me? You better not say, 'tis a point I long to know. I can understand that. Stay away from that. But I can also understand what John Newton is saying. He's talking about a condemning heart. I could go on and on with this. If our hearts condemn us. Now, look what it says. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, I read a lot of commentaries on this. Read a lot of commentaries on it. And you know what the majority of the commentaries say? And I would have never thought this. I would have never even come in my mind reading this if I hadn't read it in these commentaries. But the majority of the commentaries say with regard to this verse of Scripture, if your heart condemns you, God's a whole lot greater than your heart. He knows all things. He really condemns you. Well, if that is what it means, I'm in a world of trouble. But let me remind you of Scripture. And this Scripture is always true, just like all Scripture are always true. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, where sin abounded. What's the rest of the verse? Grace did much more abound. Now you find me a place where sin abounds. I don't care if you've been a believer 50 years or one day. You show me a place where sin abounds, and I'll show you a place where grace does much more abound. Now, that's the teaching of Scripture. Like I said, we've got to look at this Scripture in the light of other Scriptures. Now, somebody says, well, my life is such that I don't have anything to condemn me for. Well, I can't relate. I can't relate. I love the way John says God is greater, He's bigger, He's larger than our heart, and He knows all things. Now let's talk about the things God knows. He's greater than our heart, and He knows. Let's talk about God's knowledge. He knows all things. David said in Psalm 103, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts I think of you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. That's God's thoughts toward His people all the time. We may write off hard thoughts about ourselves, and well, we should. But God says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace. Acceptance. Grace is bigger. Grace is greater than our sin. Listen to this Scripture. By His knowledge. Remember, we're talking about God's knowledge. The knowledge of Christ. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For He shall bear their iniquities. He who knew no sin was made to know sin, that I might be delivered from sin. Listen to this Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I love what Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that you've known God, or rather, forget that, are known of God. Here's my hope. His knowledge of me. All of my hope is in His knowledge of me. O Lord, said David, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and uprising and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, then shall I know, I don't now, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And this is exactly what Peter meant when the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Remember he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And finally he said, Lord, you know all things. I can't hide from you. You know how sinful I am. You know how inconsistent I am. You know how contradictory I am. Can you imagine how Peter felt at this time? This is right after he had denied the Lord. Lord, you know all things. But he appealed to the omniscience of Christ. You know that I love your person. I don't love you like I ought to. I'm ashamed of my love, but how I love who you are. How I love every one of your attributes. Is there anything about Christ not to love? Oh, he's altogether lovely, isn't he? And we love his person. Now, our hearts may condemn us and cause us to conclude bitter things about ourselves. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What is the way of righteous? The way of the righteous? Christ. He's the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly, the way of salvation by works, shall perish. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13. If we believe not. Now, the only way I can understand that is the new nature. There's never a time when we don't believe in the sense that the new nature always believes. And the old nature doesn't believe. And I think that what this is a reference to more than anything else is it's not believing the gospel. It's coming to the conclusion, I must not be saved. I must not be saved. How could I be? If we believe not. What does it say? Yet he abideth faithful. He cannot. He lacks the ability. He cannot deny himself. Now what that's a reference to is union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If he would deny me, you know who he'd be denying? Himself. Because I am united to him. And that is every believer's hope. That's why if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And he knows all things. And that's what we're depending on. His knowledge of us. Do you depend on your knowledge of him? I don't. We depend completely on his knowledge of us. Now back to our text in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, my heart, as I've already said, condemns me a lot. Does yours? There's never a day that goes by when I'm not experiencing something of this condemning heart. Now, let me say this. The things you condemn yourself for are true. Aren't they? The things you condemn yourself for are true. But secondly, you have absolutely no business looking within for assurance in the first place, do you? I want you to think of how stupid it is to look within yourself for assurance. You don't deserve. I don't deserve any assurance if I'm trying to look for assurance in here by my conduct, by my actions.
And thirdly, God is greater than our hearts. His grace is greater than our sin. And His righteousness is greater than our unrighteousness. And the very foundation of salvation is always this. 1 Timothy 1:15, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. We're not to look anywhere else at any time.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, present tense. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what else I can say about myself, but I can say this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And thank God, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm thankful that the Lord is greater than my heart. And then he says in verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, when is it that my heart doesn't condemn me? When is it? Is it when I have such victory in my life and I triumph over sin so much that I just don't have anything to feel guilty about? I mean, what is there to condemn me for? I put away that sin and I started living right. What is there to condemn me for? I wouldn't claim sinlessness, but I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm obedient. I heard a preacher say with regard to this passage of Scripture, he said, every problem you have can be solved by this, obedience and walking in the Spirit. Well, I'm all for obedience, and I'm all for walking in the Spirit, but I feel quite sure this man had no idea what it means to walk in the Spirit. How is it that I can have this heart that doesn't condemn me? Is it because my walk is giving me this confidence that gives me this boldness before God? Now, if I think that, if you think it, you're blinded by self-righteousness. And you're making an idol out of your own righteousness. You don't know what it is to trust Christ as your righteousness before God, and you're being dishonest. And you will, if this is me, if this is you, if that's the way we feel about ourselves, I guarantee you, we're going to be of that number our Lord spoke of, who would say, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not been highly evangelical? In your name, that's our doctrinal soundness. We've cast out devils. Oh, the spiritual power we've demonstrated. And in your name, we've done many wonderful works. Notice the quantity, many, and the quality, wonderful. And what would the Lord say to them? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, the only way my heart can not condemn me is if I have nothing to be condemned for. I want you to chew on that for just a moment. The only way our hearts can not condemn us at any time, like I said, because my heart condemns me all the time. The only way our hearts cannot condemn us is if there's nothing to condemn us for. Somebody says, well, I have a clear conscience. No, you have a seared conscience. Not clear, seared. Your conscience just doesn't work. That's what the problem is. Somebody says, well, I have a guilty conscience. Well, that's not good either. I feel guilty. Well, no doubt you have reason to feel guilty as far as the way you are, but there's nothing intrinsically good about just having a guilty conscience. I can say a lot of things about that. I know guilt. I know guilt to operate on it. It makes me do what I do. I've told people before, guilt serves me well. Hard telling what I wouldn't do if I didn't have guilt. But there's nothing good about a guilty conscience. But look what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, now the end, the goal of the commandment,
is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, a good conscience is a conscience that doesn't have anything to feel guilty about. Now, where in the world am I going to get a conscience like that? It's the realization of justification. That's all it is. It's the realization of justification. The only way my heart cannot condemn me is if I have nothing to be condemned for. It's when by God's grace I'm given the grace to realize justification, that I really have no sin, that I have nothing to feel guilty about. It's all being put away, and I stand before God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God. Now that is our hope. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We may have boldness on the day of judgment because as he is, how is he? A lot of things I could say, but he's sinless, isn't he? Does Jesus Christ the Lord have anything to feel guilty about? Not a thing. As he is, so are we in this world. Now the only way my heart will not condemn me is by looking to Christ. That's that good conscience. Not a guilty conscience, not a seared conscience. A good conscience is one that has nothing to feel guilty about. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. The like figure, 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not the act of going under the water and coming back up and having filth washed away, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know the only thing that satisfies my conscience? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is completely satisfied with Him and everybody He represented, and He showed that when He raised Him from the dead, and that's the only thing that satisfies my conscience. That's the answer of a good conscience toward God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, because of justification, my heart does not condemn me. Now here is my experience. My heart condemns me all the time. Thank God He's greater than my heart. And He knows all things. When I am able to trust Jesus Christ the Lord as my righteousness before God, and I know I have nothing to be condemned for, I have confidence, boldness. I think this has something to do with the flesh and the spirit, don't you? You know, in the very context, he's talking about the two natures. We've seen that in 1 John chapter 3, and this has something to do with the flesh and the spirit. The contradictory heart, the condemning heart, the conflict of the heart, I tell you one thing it does for me. It continually drives me to Christ as my only righteousness before God. And I like it that way too, don't you? I'm plumb satisfied with that. Now, if our hearts condemn us, and they will, thank God He's greater than our hearts. And when our hearts condemn us not, it's because there's nothing to be condemned for. I have perfect righteousness before God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that You would give us the grace to look to Thy Son only as everything in our salvation. Lord, enable us to do that. For Christ's sake, we thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen. Matt, please, the closing hymn.